Everybody, welcome to Super Quest Saga, the show where we hear the Dungeon Cast sit around the table and normally play some Dungeons & Dragons, but today we're just going to talk about it. My name's Will Stark, and today I'm just a guy.
Yeah.
Hey.
What's up, guy?
What's up?
Joining me as always are my friends.
Josh Freeland.
Your special guest, Jake.
And Brian, and today I'll be playing Brian. today we're talking about, this episode's called Super Quest Talks. I'm sorry. No, it's
Super
not.
Super Talk.
Super Talk Saga.
There we go.
Super Talk Saga. Yes, that is me yelling at the beginning. So, guys, how does it feel to play a Dungeons & Dragons actual play with thousands of viewers? Start with a question from Josh Freeland.
Okay.
Because I was hesitant to even do this because it's like I'm one of those people that's a big introvert. Mm-hmm. I was that kid, you know, growing up, even in high school and college. I hated doing anything in front of the class. Being called on to answer stuff. So for me, it was a big challenge. Mm. But I think being with a good group of friends and just everything going smoothly, it's like I've slowly adapted to it. And I still get the nervous shakes here and there and stuff like
big
that.
Big moments.
But,
yes.
Yeah, or if I know there's something like on the interlude, sometimes I know I have to say certain things. You know, it's like, don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. You know, I say it over and over again. You know, my heart starts racing and stuff. But it's crazy when you look up at the YouTube thing and you see all those likes and all those views. It's humbling for one. And then it's crazy that, you know, so many people are into the show, which is great. I love it.
It's true.
So. Yeah. Thanks, listeners. It's become like second nature for me. I'm just here with you guys right now. But I know that on this episode in particular, we're talking to people that are on the other side of reality. I'm a time traveler.
It's true.
I'm on your screen, but I'm in the past right now. What about you, Jacob?
I feel like I'm kind of in the middle of both of you guys. I'm introverted and a little bit nervous about it, but I also try not to think. I think first live play thing we tried, like Scoov kind of prepared me for this. So by the time that we did this, I was like, oh, I'm so
ready. I've already been through
ready.
This.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll talk about Scoov later, which was the predecessor of this game that no one has seen unless you're a patron.
And a patron from a while back, because that stuff is pretty... It's
buried deep. Yeah. So one day we'll get... I found some of the lost files, so one day we'll get all that uploaded for patrons. Today, what about you, Will? How do you feel about having a successful YouTube game?
I don't really think about it very much, just because intentionally so.
Why add the nerves?
I'm already super hypercritical of everything I do. Yeah, I don't need to think about 10,000 other people being critical as well. I already hated everyone. It's okay. No, I don't hate it. No, but I am very critical of my own work.
It is what it is. Yeah. So let's move on. Let's start talking about the game itself. So we play Super Quest Saga. If this is your first episode, you did it wrong. Go back and watch episode one. We recommend watching episode one and then going back to watching episode zero. Because
if you liked one.
Yeah, because of audio quality. We had a hiccup on our very first recording. So this is a session world builder. It's not so key and important because hour two is very key and important. These are all one hour and change. I think our longest episode's almost 2 hours.
I think we crossed 2 hours once. I think maybe.
So
maybe
we do that as a specific style. This is part radio drama, part D&D. It's like it's kind of both interwoven together to like help express the narrative quickly.
Mm-hmm. True.
We don't have 4 hours to play on the game either. So that's something else. Yeah. But we make do, and I think it's a credit to Will to get the pacing right.
Yeah. So let's just slightly sped up of what I normally do.
Yeah, it works. So let's get into our characters. So as usual, we'll start with Will. This is going to be a round of player questions.
Yeah, sure.
We're going to have a round of DM questions, and then we're going to have a round of if you're on our Patreon, you can find us at the Dungeon Cast, patreon.com/thedungeoncast. You get access to lots of bonus content, but you also get to ask questions that we'll read at the end of the show on the Dungeon Cast or that we're going to read right now. So if you were a patron, you got to send in questions to ask about Super Quest Saga. So that being said, let's jump in to Josh Freeland. Tell me about your relationship with Sebastian, the creation of him, what the concept was initially. We can talk about your building because you didn't know about the time skip.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's like it was very fluid. It kept on changing. I think originally I wanted to be a Minotaur barbarian.
Oh, I remember that.
I thought about doing a Minotaur in this game. Kind of went back and forth a couple different concepts. Had some conversations with Will about the campaign, and actually ended up deciding on the half orc because it sounded like they were going to be important to the
I
the
forget scope what I said. I said if one of you, because I think two of you were debating half orc. I go, if one of you picks half orc, there's going to be a big payoff.
That was one of my
it.
Other picks. I was like, oh, mentor or half orc. Yeah. I think there's one other one I was contemplating, and then Will mentioned that. I was like, yeah, I'll do the half orc. That sounds good to me. And the paladin was something new for me. I have never played a paladin before.
You've never played a caster before either, right?
No, really. It's always been fighter, barbarian. I did ranger a couple times, which, you know.
Yeah, that's a little light casting.
It's true. It's not much casting at all, but I was always intrigued. You know, of course, playing Diablo 3, using a crusader and stuff. Yes. I was like, it'd be kind of cool to play a paladin, you know. And then I see Jake playing it, you know, and they're like Vault Raiders and stuff. And Will doing it, too. I was like, the paladin seems like a really cool class. So I was like, let's do that. So,
it's a beefy fucking class.
It's your play style.
And
very
super well-rounded.
I was like, I always play a tank of some sort. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it'd be kind of cool to play a tank that has some casting ability and some healing ability, too. Yeah. I think would be beneficial for the group. So.
Smite days.
Hell yeah.
Big smites. Did you have, like, an idea for Sebastian? Personality, or is that something you filled in post?
I had some general ideas from the get go. I knew that he was raised in a very strict household with his dad and stuff, and wasn't very sociable, you know, because he was held under lock and key for the most part.
You were like that kind of like, oh, I can't let everybody know that he's a half orc sort of thing.
Yeah. So okay. he was raised to take on more of the human side of being a half orc, and which kind of came up with a name that was part of it too. I was like, I want him to have more human traits,
a human name.
So, I originally was thinking about Alexander as one of the names, and I ended up going with Sebastian. I think it was like I was reading an article about Sebastian Stan from Winter Soldier. I was like, oh, Sebastian sounds kind of cool. I can go with that one.
Yeah.
And then Crenshaw came about randomly. I was listening to Tupac. To Live and Die in L.A. came on, and he mentions Crenshaw in that song. Yeah. And for some reason, Crenshaw just stuck.
Interesting.
I was like, that sounds kind of cool.
That's pretty
cool. It works. And Crenshaw, I was like,
It rolls off the tongue.
Then one time I thought about changing the last name to Greenland.
Oh, but I forgot about the brief Greenland phase.
Like Greenland. Yeah, it's too much about that. But it's also like I have a slight speech impediment, and I was trying to say that last name in the character's voice.
And it
was the hardest time doing it. I was like, no, I'm going back to Crenshaw. Yeah. It's like that was easier to roll off the tongue.
So. I like
Hell
it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right, Jake, you're up.
What was your question again?
The inception of the character, right?
Yeah, why you picked the race and class, and was there meaning behind the character creation? Sort of in itself. These are some general blanket questions that we're going to ask first to kind of cover everything, and then we're going to move on to the patron stuff.
Yeah, she kind of came around from another Patreon show that me and Brian do, FBATS. So it was pretty much I was trying to make a character for that show, and I'd come up with either a druid or a monk, and I ended up doing the monk on that show. And I was like, and then we were talking about this show, and I was like, well, maybe, I already built the druid. So I was like, maybe I'll just use that. And then the character concept was like Starfire from Teen Titans, but with Beast Boy's powers. And that was
dope. I like that. That's really dope.
That was still the concept from the superhero game, like from FBAT. So like it all pretty much stayed the same. But the race kind of just came from what's a good druid.
Yeah.
That's all I was looking for, because our traditional druids.
Yeah.
And then class was just already picked out, basically.
And you also didn't know about the time skip.
No, I did not. That was basically all Will told us was like, don't get too far into your backstory.
Like, do not flesh out your backstories because you're going to want to have some sort of like freedom here once I everything up.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's good. That's a good concept for gaming, especially this kind of gaming, to leave blank space for development. For me, I never played a human. And I thought that would be the best pick for Warlock. And it was all kind of like metagamey stat based why I went human. So I could do variant and pick the things I wanted to make Carter exactly the way he was supposed to function as like a concept more. I like to build my characters with the backstory in mind when I'm picking spells and abilities and things like that. Like why this character is this way. And obviously, picking the feat where I stay alert all the time and like and then compounding it with like staying awake 24/7. That was like Carter's paranoia manifesting into mechanics.
Right.
Then spells I picked were just like, oh, I'm fucking evil as fuck. So let me just show that off.
Yeah.
But I did know about the time skip Brian knew.
Yeah, Brian's the only one who knew, but you knew Carter just a very minimal amount.
Yeah, you were like, I'm gonna fuck you up in time, bro. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool.
I said, you're going to jump forward in the future. You're going to be in space. It's going to be a space adventure. And that's all Brian knew.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because
the only reason I let you know is because I had to run it by somebody to make sure it was a good idea.
Well, it worked out because you were dangling the half-orc thing in front of somebody, and then you were also dangling the Great Old One Warlock. He was like, it would be cool if somebody went Great Old One Warlock, and I was like, well, that's kind of what I want to do already.
And you also dangled the Circle of the Moon Druid in front. You were like, also, if somebody wants to do Druid, like, that'll be cool.
Okay. I remember dangling half-orc. I don't remember the other two, but I do believe you guys.
I don't think you dangled it. I think I just said that that's what I was thinking, and you're like, oh, a Circle of the Moon Druid would be dope.
Oh, okay. I can see myself doing that.
It's good.
For sure.
Yeah, Carter's backstory unfolds as the story. I wrote those intros as the story was moving, like as episodes came up. I would write a new one and develop the backstory from there.
Well done.
So how did the we'll jump back to stuff like that in a little while. How did the early time warp twist affect the characters' designs afterwards? Once you guys got flipped into the future, how did that change your perspective on your character that you had created, and how did it change these little bits in the backstory? Mm. And we'll elaborate on that a little bit. Chemical is going to get the first question from a patron because it becomes relevant right here.
Okay.
How much did the players know about the time displacement going into the game, which we covered?
We just answered that.
And after hearing character, he says, after hearing characters' backstories, I've always been curious if Jake and Freeland had imagined resolving the family issues in their backstories that were presented but never got the chance to. This one's from Magnus Rock, who also put out a relevant question. Did they leave anyone they loved or miss in Old World, like companions or friends that weren't mentioned, potential partners? It's hard to believe that they wouldn't have any friends or anything, especially Persephone, and then maybe Carter.
I think Persephone is the one who certainly didn't have
friends. Yeah, yeah. So let's cover that. Let's start with Sebastian. You had a daddy.
Had a daddy. Yeah.
Who, he spanked you.
Yeah, he kicked his ass, man. Made sure he stayed in line. Sebastian believes his dad's dead. His dad disappeared, never came back. So he believes he's dead, but there's no proof of it.
In Old World. Dead.
Well, he's for sure 100% dead. Yeah, for sure.
You find your dad frozen on an asteroid.
We
cry and freeze him.
He's stuck on part onto the tower.
A second time. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, he did. He was kind of like held under lock and key, really. So he probably knew a few people here and there. But, of course, as we found out in one of the interludes, his mother was killed. So he lost that connection. So he wasn't really close to anybody. He does miss the Old World, though. He craves for that. He wants to be back there.
Mm-hmm. So there were some
not necessarily because of the people, just because of the world.
Familiarity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there were some mechanical implications with the time skip. You were no longer connected to your god, which you originally designed your character around. Was that pretty jarring?
Yeah, I mean, I had to find something to attach to, you know. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like
it was conquest.
Yeah, exactly. So
domination.
Oath of conquest to dominion. You know, so it was one of those things. Like, okay, I just lost my connection to the god where I was starting to learn all my different powers from, and all of a sudden I have to try to tap into something else to get my powers from. Yeah, so yeah, that definitely was a little bit of a learning experience with Sebastian. So.
Okay, yeah. So for Persephone, do you have anyone that you left behind? I know the answer to this, but maybe you should just recap your backstory a little bit. Such tragic.
No, I mean, maybe some, maybe some sad wolves or foxes or other animals in the area might have been sad that I'm no longer there to or care for them.
Your whole thing was that you were born albino or like different from your tribe. And
I was abandoned at a very young age and then basically raised by the forest. And kind of fended for myself. So, I mean, animal friends probably, but I mean, she was kind of used to being by herself, so she didn't really leave anybody behind. What else was the
just
was
like
a lot.
Basically, did you have anybody you left behind or like anything that you wanted resolved? But you lost your powers too when you transferred over.
That was super jarring. Was the change from the Circle of the Moon to like the galactic druid thing.
Right.
Like I miss my direwolf. I miss my bear. But I also have super dope Pokemon forms now, so that's even better.
That's the trade-off.
So I kind of traded up a little bit in certain places. And also I think she's like, because she was by herself so much, and I think she's kind of learned to roll the punches. Like she has that yearning for connection because she was by herself, but she's able to fend for herself because that's what she's done her whole life.
Yeah. Okay. So with Carter, it was not jarring to time skip necessarily, other than like it was craziness to do that. Carter wasn't necessarily expecting. Carter didn't know. Carter was getting the vibe from the patron, like, you need to go do this shit, get on the boat, do the boat, kill all the bugs in the eggs or whatever it was that I did with the Eldritch Blast.
Yeah, yeah.
So when it happened, Carter's just rolling with the punches. The mystery of Carter's backstory has not yet been fully unraveled. I want to save that for post campaign when we do like end this campaign and bridge into another one. We'll do a Carter centric arc in Old World, I think, is what we'll do.
That'd be dope.
And I'll probably DM it, and Will can play, and we'll be some inconsequential fools that do some cool shit, however that might end.
Right.
But that'll tell you the rest of what happened between the final interlude with the final intro with Carter and what happened when he picked up with the team.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to lose my powers because my deity exists outside of time and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Carter was like. He's a little empty on that end. He doesn't have those personal connections at that point. Mm. He severs all ties pretty much in the time that you guys spent with him in the intros. Like, he doesn't really make a strong personal emotional connection ever again because he's a broken, insane person after all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he follows the fate of his father and gets, like, basically that develops all later where Carter kind of becomes his dad pretty much. Just like a thing. But he's his own man. But he's not, because he's basically a slave. Like, his brain has been warped to the point where he just takes commands and he's just power hungry and driven to do whatever it is that a Carter do. You guys saw what he was all about. So that's pretty much it for that. So the next question, we have a couple more about characters.
It's fine.
Did your character change as the game progressed? And in what way? Like, how did your character develop as we played sessions together? Sebastian Freeland?
I mean, a huge change for him off the bat was losing his god, you know, because he was raised to follow this god and he devoted his life to the god.
Yeah, let's pick up after you kind of got in your boots a little bit on that one. Broke in your new powers. You're back to your old self, kind of, but different.
Yeah.
From there on, now you're new character.
He's bitter, man. I mean, his whole race has been wiped out. You know, the orcs, all half orcs. I mean, it's a rude awakening for him. Some things. So.
Sorry.
So he's it's a tough pill to swallow because he's like, I'm the last of my kind. It's like, what am I supposed to do? Mm. Like, he's just on a revenge trip now, you know, just go out there and do what he can. And I mean, I think deep down he wants to be back in the old world. I think part of it was, you know, to be back where there are orcs.
Right.
You know, and just be back around his own kind.
Kind of learn that side of yourself.
Yeah.
Because now you don't really have the chance.
Yeah. It's like, and that's the thing is, he is tapping into his orc side a lot more than he used to, because he was raised a certain way where he had to be more human than orc. And now, after with everything that happened, he's definitely leaning a lot more toward the orc side now. Mm-hmm. So he's you know, taking that in and really, and you know, embracing that side of him.
Okay. Yeah, I see Sebastian in the later episodes, you know, showing that anger and getting more passionate and finding like more drive to do specific things. So
100%.
And I saw you like clinging to Prim a lot, like as a protective element in her story. So that was really cool to see.
And
you,
I think,
kind of change that way.
Part of that too is he can relate, because she's the only one of her kind that they know of, you know.
Right.
So he feels like, I'm the only kind of mine, or the last one of my kind, and you're the only one of your kind. So we're both kind of in the same boat, you know. It's like, we're the last of each. So.
And you guys are all like unique circumstances of your species, which I find really, really interesting. It
That's
really fits with
true.
My theme of the campaign. Yeah. But sorry, continue.
Yeah, no.
Should we move on to Jacob now?
Yeah.
I think she's changed more because like now she has people around her. Because I think before she might have like tried to sneak into town, but because she was so different, she got like chased out. Like, I definitely did give her a very tragic backstory of being unwanted. So now she's in an area where she is being wanted. And then with the galactic druid thing, like, she's kind of like accepting the responsibility of like, I think she took it upon herself to be like, I'm now going to take care of all of the galaxy.
Right.
So she's just kind of wanting to Mama Percy everybody.
Yep.
It don't matter. Also, you're getting adopted. And, and that's that.
That's, I love it.
So, yeah, I think she's not. I think she's trying not to let what happened with Carter turn her bitter or to stop her from being the light that she wants to be in the galaxy. So, yeah, I don't know. Changing, but I feel for the better.
I know with Carter in the first couple episodes before the time skip, I struggled with like, how nasty am I going to be?
Right.
You know, and like, what am I going to, what kind of things am I going to do? And like, what is Carter going to show his companions in the early game? But luckily, not enough time went by for me to experiment so much. We got into like a kind of dire situation right away. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went into like, okay, survival mode. Like, I will do better as a survivor with these two little mini tanks I got. So, and right, then that's the energy that I carried over into the time skip. Like, well, I'm here with you guys for a reason. Like, Carter's all about karma and for a reason stuff. Like, this is all fate. This is all his fate. It's unavoidable. Everything is unavoidable. And he controls like the micro actions of his overall destiny. So like he needs to make the, like whatever is common sense to Carter and whatever made sense is what he would do. And he knew that would follow and lead to the things that were meant to be. So he would just like, well, these guys are here and they're strong and they're my allies right now. And I fucking hate them, but like, we're going to do this. And I'm going to like try to keep it together as Carter. So he went and found people like Fred and like these dark underlings. And it kind of gave me the room and to explore like, okay, Carter can be really sneaky and Carter can like keep secrets and hold information back and kind of manipulate with persuasion and the high charisma that he had to like get through NPC interactions and things without revealing who he really was. And he held back a lot of different kinds of magic in certain situations to mask what was going on. You know, the spell I put Percy in at the end, the Evard's black tentacle sphere or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Like that was one I was like, okay, that's going to be crazy if they just see that shit, you know, super early. So I saved it for a time when it was like, well, it's going to be like flashy and kind of dark, but it was, it's going to do, you know, Blood Gala. That's when that came out. So that's kind of
that when that happens.
Carter lashed out during Blood Gala. Like, I'm just going to be myself. Like, this is a chance to perform and be extreme.
To be my nastiest self.
And be nasty. Be nasty as like, this is just a character.
It's persona.
Yeah.
It's not me. It's just an act.
But then like, I knew.
But it is me.
Yeah.
You know, me and Will worked together to like whip Carter back into shape after that. Like, you were fucking up doing this type of shit. Get back to normal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after that, it was nose to the grindstone. And Carter is going to get back to being sneaky. And then it starts falling apart at the end a little bit. But just in the nick of time, fucking left turn.
And,
And you dipped. I'm glad that happened when it did, because I don't know if we could have gotten through another arc of Carter with the things that had happened between him and Sebastian. I don't know how that was going to go down.
Right, so
100%.
We were talking. Will and I were talking about. Will and I were talking about one more arc of Carter. And
we were
like, no, like I think it's time. Like it's time now.
Yeah.
And it worked out. I thought it was the right time. I was done. I was pretty 100%. Much done with Carter at that point anyway. So let's get into some DM questions.
Okay, sure.
I'm going to ask.
I'll do my best. They're probably going to not be very long.
So we have some DM questions. The first one is, why space? I'll elaborate on that a little bit. Magnus Roxen and a question for Will.
Okay.
How long did it take you to craft the homebrew of SuperQuest? I think he meant SuperQuest Galaxy. And what additions or stuff do you use for inspiration? We kind of tackled that on the Dungeon Cast a little bit recently.
Right.
But our audience between the show and that show are split. Check out the Dungeon Cast.
So how long did it take me? It took me a while because I was working on a space homebrew campaign for maybe like 8 or 9 months before like the idea even became a thing for SuperQuest Saga.
Ooh.
But I was just like dabbling it. Every once in a while I would just kind of hit the book and add a little piece, or if I had an idea I'd scribble down the note or whatever. But as for why for space, I just like space. Like, I grew up as a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut, so I was obsessed with space as a kid. And I just like space stuff, and so I thought a space campaign would be fun. And I kind of wanted to prove that I was able to do it, because I talk a lot of talk about, like, you know, D&D being able to cover any genre. So I was like, well, I believe in it, so why don't I give it a shot?
Oh, yeah.
And then
we get people that are like, you guys should be using this system or this system, but this covers it.
Yeah, it's fine. And then it was inspired by a lot of different things for this homebrew universe. The comic book series Saga is a big one. Obviously, Outlaw Star. Anyone who's familiar with Outlaw Star can see that plainly. Different books. Stormlight Archives, pretty much anything from Sanderson's Cosmere series. Trying to think what else. Guardians of the Galaxy even, you know, has its place as an inspiration.
Tenchi,
so yeah,
Tenchi Muyo.
Tenchi Muyo, yeah, there's a lot of Tenchi in this. And so I just take pieces from all the different space stuff that I like, kind of amalgam it together.
Hell yeah.
So I think we know the answer to this one, but maybe the audience doesn't know this part. But any unexpected twists?
Yes.
I mean,
many.
Time skip was your machination. That was your whole, that was the whole thing to get us to space and to make D&D make sense. So what are a few things, and this is from Freeland, what are a few things that have caught you by surprise, whether it be things characters did or didn't do, or how players reacted to something in particular?
I wrote down an answer to this one because I had to think about it. So the first, what was the first part of the question?
Generally, any unexpected twists, but is there something specific that a player did or didn't do?
Oh, so we're talking in the past, not moving forward? I thought that's what.
In the past, so far, this is like, did we derail something or do something you didn't expect?
Oh, did you
guys
derail anything? You've done things I didn't expect. Like, I didn't expect you guys to go to Zovra. There was nothing there for you guys.
Almost died.
But it ended up being a really good episode, so you know, I enjoyed it. Almost died. Yeah. It changed you guys, but it didn't change the campaign.
It opened up the world a little bit, which I really love when that happens. We get some NPC interaction. We got that cool tavern guy. We got some dwarf talk. We got some character interaction.
It was a dope planet.
It was raining there. Yeah. It had like a mining system.
It was definitely fun coming up with it, because it's like, well, I'm forced to think about something I never thought about before, so let's think about it.
It's kind of the magic of the game, you know, when something goes and takes a left turn unexpectedly, you need to kind of build something around that.
So the two more recent things that like kind of surprised me is I'm surprised Carter survived. I intended on Carter to die. And now that he's not dead, as a DM, I have to deal with that. And I have to like think about the long term, what that means for both you guys and for like the stuff that's happening, which is fine. Like, that's how D&D works. And I got a lot of cool stuff in mind. And then the other thing is, I could not believe you guys did not say the name three times on the back of that fucking
card.
And I've talked to people who listened to the episode, and they're just like, what?
I know.
So it just really surprised
me. For me, my long play was Sebastian from the get-go wanted to do it himself.
Right, for sure.
So that's that's why, but... I know it didn't. Not many people agree with him.
I was so surprised.
Carter would have made you. Carter would have done it.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Oh yeah.
Yeah, Carter. Carter was not about to be afraid of some devil shit.
And maybe I was gauging what the party does based off when Carter was in the party. This was like the first episode without Carter in the party.
Dynamics, for sure, 100%. Yeah.
But yeah, that surprised me. Other than that, like, there's nothing you guys have really done that really shocked me.
Carter would have been like, I want to see what happens to this half-orc right now. You say it, buddy.
Yeah, right.
And then also, that thing showed, if the imp was going to show up all along, it would have been cool to do it in that episode. But,
the imp was going to show up all
along. Yeah, of course. He's that plan, but I love what happened. Yeah.
It didn't make sense, like, to me... for us to do it like in the middle of the exploding spaceship.
So I was like, where I hard disagree because it's like, you guys don't know where Prim is.
Yeah.
And there's only one person on this earth and his name's on the back of this fucking car.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. But my thought is we can do it as soon as we get out of it.
Yes.
Though,
I was like, there's a giant space battle. There's a fucking void dragon about to explode right now. I was like, we got to go. But we also need to save this card.
Exactly. That would have been Carter's argument, would have been, well, we are going to get out right now when we read the fucking card.
I was expecting that too. I was expecting you guys to try and buy your passage out of here.
Yeah, just like Prim did. If we do the same thing Prim did, we'll be where Prim is, and then we're fucking strong.
Now, it wouldn't have worked, but I was expecting
that's the thing that I was like, we have so many, like, Echo, like, we have his
Echo, that's a big no-no for Echo. That's why I didn't want to be involved in the spying on Sebastian during that. Echo don't want to know that yet. He wants to be surprised. I want Echo to be surprised about it. I think that would be more interesting later.
Yeah,
sure.
So I do make decisions based on like what I think will be interesting for the show.
Definitely.
And as long as they align with what my character is is about.
I feel it.
But yeah, for the most part, you guys don't do too much that like surprises me too much.
That's cool. Okay,
we'll see when I kill Sebastian and reincarnate him into something else.
Oh shit!
And break
without his
permission.
A gnome paladin all of a sudden. Yeah. Like, what?
We've been talking about the reincarnate spell a little bit, but that's not gonna happen.
No.
It's kind of a double up here. What was your approach to world building here? But I have some sub questions to tack on to that. Like, what are the decision making aspects of what you did with the deities in this world, the magic and the planes? I think we should just generally cover what the state of that is, and then why you made those decisions. And then
a lot of spoilers that I can't get into, but I'll do my best.
Well, just get cover down what we know, because we know that the planes don't exist as they do in the regular D&D world. Mm-hmm. Everything kind of seems congealed together. Mm-hmm. You could just tell me like why you wanted to do that. If no spoilers for the future, so, we can cover all that in another Super Quest Talks at the end of the campaign.
My initial thought was like, okay, if I'm going to fast forward D&D 100,000 years in the future, I think my original idea was like, well, why did everyone go to space? And so I had to come up with a why and then a how. And then
reverse engineer it.
The whys and hows that I came up with changed a lot of things. And so I had to think about like, okay, well, now that we're here so far in the future, like who rules what areas, what are the powers and why are they in power and what's their history? And so I just kind of went along that line. And then, of course, well, all the gods are dead. So like what's taking their place and like. How does the cosmology lay itself out now that like things are different because of things that happen that I can't tell you?
I want to find out.
So on that on that note, with deities, traditionally, I learned from the Dungeon Cast and you that magic comes from a god.
Yeah, traditionally, although never in my worlds.
Okay, so that counts.
Yeah,
there's that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all you need to know. What's your inspiration for? Monster and item homebrews and reskins. It's kind of the same things you touch on for the world building, or are there specific things that you look for when you're building a creature that doesn't exist? Like your cyber troll, you know?
So, oh yeah, the cyber troll. I don't know. I just made that one up. That one was just I'll make a robot troll.
Here's a troll. Let's do a couple things different. Yeah.
Most of the answers are because it sounded cool. Really what it comes down to.
But I mean, that's totally
when
fine.
When it comes to creatures, I think obviously there's a lot of Pokemon because I love Pokemon.
Yeah.
And Jake likes Pokemon too, so I use that as an excuse to give him Pokemon. And then if I'm not homebrewing it like from scratch, I'm usually trying to look through the Creature Codex or the Tome of Beasts because there's a lot of weird shit in there.
I'm like,
well, that's very alien-esque. I'm going to use that, maybe change it, or maybe just keep it the same and just kind of add it into my world.
I like Tome of Beasts a lot. Yeah, that was a good one. So that's pretty much like the blanket questions we have. We have a lot of patron questions we want to get to, but I think we should talk about our history as players together a little bit.
Okay.
I initially got into... And I kind of mentioned that we weren't going to touch on this stuff a little bit, but
we're talking
about Scoov so much that we should kind of explain what that is.
Oh, okay, sure. we want to go. That's what you mean by go.
And to do that, I kind of need to tell you guys, like, I started playing D&D because of Will.
Yes. Right.
And we sat down and played a homebrew fantasy world game of his at Josh Freeland's house.
Yeah.
And that's how we all kind of started to become close friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're the same, right, Jake?
Brian pulled me in and... I was like, never played D&D before. Yeah. I was just like,
I remember the character building session.
That
was fun. Yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
I've known Josh Freeland for like 10 years now, something like that. Close to it,
yeah.
I met him at work, and I got him into D&D because I knew he was a nerd and he'd like it, and he did. He really did.
Right away.
And I met Will and Freeland both at work.
Yeah,
sure. So we played that game for a little while, and then we went kaputs on it. A lot of games end like that.
Yeah.
So scheduling actually most of the games, scheduling stuff. Everybody knows, everybody's seen the memes. So we ended up thinking when we started doing the Dungeon Cast that started to take off a little bit. We said, okay, well, we need a live game or an actual play or whatever it was we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed to come up with a concept for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Will thought I should DM it. Mm-hmm. So I started, homebrewing a fantasy world. I struggled a lot with like who was going to play in it, what were the gods going to be like, what was the pacing going to be like, and it took a lot to get everything together and to get going and to figure out how we're going to film it, because we used to film shit with our phones.
Yes.
And we used to record shit on like our phones.
Yeah,
like the audio.
It's true.
And we had so many hiccups with
a lot of problems,
and we had to play. These were like 3 to 4 hour, 5 hour, 6 hour sessions sometimes, because I didn't know how to DM really well or pace things. I didn't know how long things were supposed to take, how long things were going to go. We had like 5 players that I was in charge of, and that kind of bogged things down a little bit. Getting everybody together for the first couple episodes was super messy.
Yeah.
And then we moved on into some stuff that was really – we did some really cool stuff in that campaign.
Yeah.
The world –
especially the longer it kept going.
The world felt rich.
Yeah.
The world felt – the players began to congeal. But then like I lost some footage we had a bunch of like weird hiccups, and then I was like – calling off work the next day because we'd play till like midnight and I couldn't wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And it was just causing problems and stuff. And we were just like, okay, well, like some things, and also I wasn't editing as I went. So like some things just got kind of out of control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, sure.
But we learned so much from that experience. It made this game possible.
True.
We knew what we had done wrong. Not that we did a whole bunch wrong, just like the dominoes kind of fell in a certain way to end it, mm-hmm. the way it ended.
Yeah.
And we had to put it to bed. But I'm thinking that we do want to pick up kind of game like that again after this is done.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where we land. I definitely want to do the little Carter thing. We want to do a couple other little things to take a breather in between campaigns and mm-hmm. reset and let everybody kind of calm down. And then we'll see what happens. All right, guys. So here's the meat and potatoes moments you guys have all been waiting for.
Ooh, the Patreon.
Unless anybody has something they want to throw in that didn't get addressed that they want to talk about, now's your time.
I think just if anybody has a chance, go check out SuperQuest Ultra 5 because the campaign was a lot of fun.
Oh,
had really cool characters.
There are some
and
episodes
stuff.
Buried deep in the Patreon. I'll try to feature it around the time this episode drops.
It's so really
a good idea.
You know, patrons that are in there.
So.
Yeah.
It was a good game. It was a lot of fun. We'll get back to something like that. I still have all, I know, you know, my brain is still right there, just like every game I've ever not done, not finished. It's just right there. So we're going to start with some. I know we got some questions in from Kem and Magnus. So let's switch to Dave.
Let's meet him. What's up, Dave?
So some of these are going to kind of be like recappy a little bit, which is good, I think. So was the Illithid? This is from Dave. Was the Illithid ship that Prim was in intentionally sent back through time and space to be found by Carter?
Mm.
And that's if it's not spoiler worthy for you, if you'd like to answer that. Well,
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's spoilers, but well, also like intentionally by who?
Well, spoilers beyond this point.
Yeah.
So like, I know we have the scene where the two ships are, we saw the video in the Elven ship where that ship was shot and its trajectory was supposedly like flung off.
And that had less to do with the time and more to do with like the horrible landing, which crashed the ship. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they went back in time intentionally.
Okay,
but they didn't have anything to do with Carter as a entity or a person or his patron or any of that. They were doing their own thing.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's that. I'm sure we'll get to that eventually. So that should answer that. And then number two, are Sebastian and Prim going to have
I forgot about this
going
question.
To have to merge or make a baby in order to create the ultimate being? If I understand correctly. Prim has genes of eight races and is missing orc DNA.
It's true. So, number one, that would be super spoilers, but I will say that I will never write a story which forces one of my players to have sex with one of my NPCs. That will just never happen. So, no.
Carter was a was celibate. His junk don't work. I think I mentioned that.
I didn't know that, but I believe you.
Well, we had that scene with Molly Dalla where, I was going to kind of do that.
Yeah. Sure,
and I was like, but Carter can't.
I didn't know.
I don't remember.
He got high charisma, but no like blood flow below.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was not a point. Like romance is not really integral to this story, as far as I can tell. And until my take on it is until somebody can organically come up with a way to like implement romance into the story and make it feel right. Like, you know, Echo's not going to be hitting on Victoria. It's just like that's not what he's there to do.
Right.
Yeah. And it would be weird if Will decided like, well, I'm just going to start hitting on Echo. That would be a fun plot point to play with, you know, like until then, like I'm not going to try to force like, oh, I'm going to roll to seduce the dragon.
Give me
like,
a
you
wife,
know,
Will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the thing I'm going to push for the things I want, but I'm not going to try to like, that kind of thing is awkward when I'm talking to Will. You know, it's probably not something I'm going to like. Romance is it's difficult.
It can be,
For me at this table.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to write a story where it's like the MacGuffin has to have sex with one of the players. They're just not going to do that.
Yeah.
So, no.
I think to kind of play off of that with Sebastian, just kind of give him where his headspace at, he kind of views Prim almost like a sister.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's very protective of her. The younger sister, like, he's there to protect her. That's his job.
Exactly.
You know, so he kind of sees her in that way right now. So.
That's fair. That's fair.
Okay, I think that's a good answer. So you guys want to move on?
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Sure. More questions from Chemical. You're killing it, my man. What are y'all's favorite NPCs so far? We'll start with Josh Freeland.
Yeah, you have to go first.
There's so many of them. I mean, I'm kind of partial to Korak, of course. Because
I love
Minotaur's Pier. That's one of my favorite mythological creatures. And then Will kind of asked me if he could use that name because that was a character of mine. Mm-hmm. Not a very different version of it, but he used the name, which I thought was pretty cool for him to do that. So, man, there's been so many. I love all the NPCs in this game, man. I'm trying to narrow it down.
Korak was a very good NPC. Korak was
cool. Role played him was just hilarious. Mm-hmm. Loved
it. We use that character in almost every game we've played. Like Freeland has had Korak. I had Korak in Super Quest Ultra 5.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, it was a plot point for later. I talked to Freeland when I was Dungeon Master player. Like, he's in the world. He lives here. And you guys were almost about to meet him before we broke stuff off. He was going to be around a little bit.
Yeah.
But Korak was in your game as well, wasn't he? Or some version of...
Yeah, a game that Will and I played
beforehand,
a while back.
Yeah, that's where I asked him if I could use the name. Yeah,
yeah, it was a fourth edition game we had played back in the day. Cool. So
yeah,
it was a Minotaur fighter. So, but yeah, I mean...
So Korak's your answer?
Yeah, I have to... I mean, as they start saying their answers too, I'm sure they'll jog my memory of other ones as well. So
I think like Sotros and Mr. Midnight are pretty dope. Those are Outlaw's Horizon...
That was a fun world.
Made some very cool NPCs happen. Like, I was like, oh, this is all pretty sick. I can't really think of, I love Prim. I view her as a person in the party, not like an NPC. Exactly. So it's I don't know.
Like Victoria, Prim, all of them, view them as part of the characters, team. Not NPCs. Yeah.
But they are NPCs.
Yeah, they are. Technically, but
I feel you. I understand.
They're almost like DNPCs, but I don't think they're officially statted, really.
Hell no, they're not.
Yeah.
I don't know who else. The
whole crew is great. I mean, Watt, Victoria, all of them, it's like...
Carter's my favorite NPC. He probably won't be my favorite NPC.
Right.
So far, I like the freelancers.
Ooh, yeah.
The freelancers are pretty
I like Gil. He had some badass scenes. Yeah, he was like, just kidding, I could have killed you BGs anytime.
The whole time. Yeah. It's true. It's
let's
true.
Want to play a game? Gil is Bounty Hunter Jigsaw. Let's go.
The Maldaria, the Justice Saint you just...
Oh, yeah, Melena, daughter of Mother...
Oh, that's a
Maldaria, daughter of Melena.
My favorite bad guy so far.
Yeah, she had two lines.
She just Boba Fetted us, though. And then she's everybody's favorite because she's dope.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to Hobbleman, Man.
Or Hobbleman for some very dope characters.
Like, wow, that looks a lot like what I pictured.
Yes. You guys can check out our Discord in the link below. There's some great people in there doing some art. If you're an artist and you like this show, jump in there, man. We'll post it on our social.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We'll love it.
Will, your favorite NPCs?
So you guys named everyone on my list. I have Prim, Zacerbane Knight, Satoros, Korak, and then you didn't name Mulidala. I really liked
her.
Oh,
yeah, Mulidala.
You guys will
too.
Never see her again because I'm never doing that horrible accent again. But,
yeah, she did so good with it, though, man.
It was a good time.
I'm a firm believer that you can just like put stuff through your will filter and it comes out it different comes than out, you intend, yeah. and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's so good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say Mulidala.
Yeah.
But then I was like, then all these other people. Though,
also, I like the announcer at the...
Yes.
Fight!
That's right.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
Drop me a mic. That was a fun moment.
Splack, somebody get Splack him a mic.
Splack. That's actually Kevin Colt's fifth question is hashtag justice for Splack.
Splack's fine.
That's not a question,
he's
but
fine.
Yeah, he lived.
He healed him. Right.
He lives.
He's still a local legend. Yeah, he had a heart attack. He's
the
fine.
One that survived Stranger Things.
They got space medicine. They're fine.
Oh, my God. I didn't know he lived through
yeah,
this.
Yeah, no, he didn't die.
He had a heart attack.
Heart attack
man. People don't die anymore from heart attacks, really.
Everybody's well, giving me all this yeah. shit for killing Splack, and he's alive this whole time?
He's fine.
Okay, so... my second favorite NPC is Watt,
that.
And that didn't happen until I roleplayed Watt
for
5 minutes.
Very good. Yeah.
Destroyed him. Okay,
and
so
everything was non-canon from exactly. that.
Well, actually, it went over really well. People seemed to
people
enjoy
loved
that.
It. Yeah,
people sure did love it.
Does anyone have any pregame rituals? I skipped one. Sorry, let me go back. Do you think the series would ever lend itself to having a guest player at the table for one episode or a small arc?
Yeah sure. Yeah. Like I'm definitely open to
woman.
It. Yeah, sure.
A fifth person.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely more so for an arc, not a permanent spot. But yeah, we'd be open to guests.
We have sure. the microphone space, but we do not have the room really.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So we'd have to like, I don't know.
We'd have to reconfigure.
Skyping people in can be difficult.
Extremely.
With
so.
Our setup.
Yeah.
We are working within a box and we're trying to break out. And it's all thanks to Patreon people yes. that have allowed us to even get to this point. But mm-hmm. one day we want like a studio with ample space that we can right. like set things up exactly the way we want and make things look really, really crisp and get all mm-hmm. our angles right and get all our sound like dialed in super good. And then we can explore those things later. But as for this campaign, it's probably not going to happen.
Mm. Yeah.
Next campaign,
maybe.
We might be in a
maybe
position so where we can make that happen.
True.
So next question is, does anybody have any pregame rituals like rolling dice to get them warmed up for the game?
Oh,
I just yeah. say right before we start that I'm not ready.
Yeah,
that's every time.
I was talking
every
to Brian.
Time you cast also,
yeah. Yeah. he was getting everything ready, and I was just like existential dread, maybe.
Yeah, that's
no, like, not really.
Yeah.
I used to get super nervous before our regular unfilmed games, but when the camera and the mics are on, I'm like, cool,
yeah,
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I mean, I do roll dice. I was thinking maybe like putting all the dice. In front of my tray and then putting them all on like the highest
specific way every time.
Put them all on like the highest number. Like so when I grab it, it's on a crit, or when I grab the D6, it's on a 6.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's like a ritual or anything like
yeah.
that.
And it's something I think everyone
ready.
Does. I've done it five
yeah.
times.
Yeah, I see,
yeah,
I see it up there.
And when there's click clacks around, you want to touch them and roll
it's
them.
True.
So.
Indeed.
What about you, Josh?
Not really. I mean, by the time I get here, I come, you know, go home from work real quick and just head on over here to crank it out. I don't have much time to do anything else, really, and just sit down at the table, get my stuff out. And you guys are usually here before
and
I
we're
am.
We're just cracking
and
it out.
Just
yeah.
ready to go. So
I set up the lights and mics and stuff, so like yeah. that's what I do before the game, and then I get all my shit out. That's pretty much it. Just dialing in. You know, we've got like recording yeah. stuff to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think I used to really do anything except for like make sure I had a drink.
Yeah.
With me
yeah.
and like
right.
stuff like that, like that's kind of ritualistic. Or like now I have my sweet What the Grumsh mug,
yeah, mm-hmm.
right here. We keep all our pens in it. You can get that on our Patreon. It's a lot of Patreon talk.
I think for me, as I'm driving over here, you know, it's about a 15-minute drive. It's not that far at all. It's like I try to replay all the stuff that we just went through in the last session.
That's fair.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
try
what
to
I do
refresh.
The recap at the beginning,
I'm like,
yeah.
okay, what just happened? Trying to get the headspace of the character. Try to really think what. The Sebastian would do next or where his mindset would be. So
ooh, I do almost always practice my voice on the way from work to
mm-hmm.
here
mm-hmm.
to make sure it's warm. I'll either like sing a little bit or get my vocal warm and talk, and I'll probably look like crazy person to pass by, you know?
Just arguing.
Like, what the?
I've actually seen somebody like I'll practice like yelling or whatever, and I'll see somebody staring at me. I'm like, I'm not yelling at anybody. I swear. What about you, Will?
I'd say I'm not ready because I never am. But also, I usually spend my time reading through this book, my
yeah.
notes, everything
that's
I wrote,
true.
Which we filled this up. This is now
Ooh.
Full.
Oh, is
the
it?
The first half of the campaign
Volume
is in this
one,
book.
Baby.
I got to buy another one of these.
Right on.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
So we kind of covered this a little bit. The last question, besides hashtag justice versus black, which apparently there was justice versus black.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not justice, but recovery.
Indeed.
He needs now to learn. The justice is that he needs to actually die.
He needs to learn.
We're going back.
We're going back, and I'm going to kill him again, guys. Let's make sure he stays dead.
So Kem asks, how did it all begin? Did you guys know you were at some point going to play an extended live play? That sort of thing. Kinda we kind of covered that already. Yeah. Or did Will just show up one day and said, I have a campaign? It's both. All that. We kind of covered that. Yeah. So thanks, legendary listener Chemical, for your questions. Hey. Let's do one from Thantos, which is going to kind of break down some of the very early game stuff. Mm-hmm. He says, maybe I missed it, but how were the adventurers so easily able to adapt to something so foreign to them as far as space travel? Mm. If one had access to someone from medieval times. Sorry, kind of messy. And sent them to like the moon, how would they react? Their head might explode, consider it devilry or just gods or just being out of time and uneducated. He can't imagine how someone from today might respond to technology from even 500 years from now. That one, I feel
for
like.
For me, I'm just like, you guys come from a world of magical bullshit. Like,
but also,
it's fine.
It wasn't easy.
No, and also, yeah, no, there was struggle and there was like a whole lot of adaptation. But I almost feel like a D&D character would be way more ready to like deal with the change than like a real life person.
Yeah. Like, I had Carter went through bullshit already that was beyond his understanding. Yeah. So, like, this is no big deal. He just was like, it's happening again.
Yeah. And also, yeah, you guys were freaking out for like 6 episodes.
Yeah. I remember the first
what's
episode.
That? What's going on?
Like, what is that witchcraft? Exactly. Yeah. What is
and
this hologram?
On the episode where you guys finally stopped freaking out, there was literally a 2 month time jump. I'm like, okay, guys, everyone needs to stop freaking out now and tell me where they are now. Yeah.
You guys have been studying on stuff, learning robotics. Exactly. Or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Go watch the Meridar 3 episode. I think this guy is just like tripping balls that he can't wild shape.
And this guy's like, my God, he's dead.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's all that episode is.
What is going on?
Yeah. First time. Carter's a psychopath. He doesn't apply. Those rules don't really apply to him.
No,
so,
no.
Also, how did they communicate? Middle English isn't very popular among spacefarers. You missed the babblefish.
Yeah, they get the translators in episode 2. And I think I explained the way the translators work via like intent. Like, I think in, like, episode 23 or something like that. Yeah.
Can you recap that a little bit? Because I think we need to retcon something, but I'll bring that up after you kind
of. Okay. So they are Magitek, and they're essentially designed to whoever they're attached to.
Magitek is magically infused technology.
Yes, exactly. Whoever, like, let's say I was wearing a translator, theoretically, it would take whatever I'm saying and decipher the intent from my brainwaves. And then transmit it to all translators within whatever the radius you set it to is. And then those translators would take the intent of the communication, translate it into something that the listener in their earpiece can understand. And so everyone kind of hears things in their own like native tongue.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Yeah. So with that being said, lots of things are happening during our game. Mm-hmm. We've got lights on. Cameras on. We're under some pressure to get it done right in one shot. You know, we don't want to make too many cuts and make things hard in post. Mm-hmm. We got mics on us. We got a lot of things to think about, and we're playing at a very fast pace. So to remember things as we're going is sometimes not always possible for us. We did have a scene with Echo and the communicator that, upon reflection, doesn't quite add up to me. Persephone talking to the singers. Mm-hmm. So
They
don't have communicators, but Persephone did.
Yes.
So could she not understand?
Nope.
There's
no intent being transmitted to her translator because they don't have a transmitter on.
Is it like a two-way communication?
So there needs to be both.
Yes.
People need to have one.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so does Echo have one then?
Yes,
I would figure he did.
Everyone generally would have one.
Okay.
They don't. They're slaves.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So that totally makes it clean. I was like, wait, shouldn't... you have been able to understand them.
No.
Okay, good. And then I was like, wait, if that's true, then Percy should know that Echo lied. But if Echo was doing a lie and knew that she was going to know, he wouldn't have done that. So I thought we were going to have to retcon something, but I'm really glad we don't.
Yeah, we
so,
do not. It's
great.
Good.
That's great. If you've seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or have read the books, the Babblefish is essentially what this is. mm-hmm. More or less.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was like they in that show, they pop a little fish in the ear that mm-hmm. just starts making language work. So it makes everything real smooth and we don't have these barriers. Mm-hmm. So don't worry about that one. It's because of magic.
Mm-hmm. Magic science.
So thanks, Santos. Appreciate that. Those are good recap stuff. Yes. So this one's from Zachary H. Beach. Did Brian know from the beginning what was going to happen with Carter, which we've kind of addressed a little bit, and was it always planned for things to go the way they did with Carter? If not, when did it take that turn? But we kind of plotted all this from the beginning.
I don't know if we planned the betrayal from the beginning, but we had everything else.
We had the idea. Yeah. Like, we knew I built this character under the premise that it was not going to end well in some fashion. Yeah. It can't.
Right.
With the way the character's designed.
Right.
He is evil.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
I wasn't, like, I don't remember if we had a plan for a mid-campaign betrayal or more of, like, a in-the-end-game betrayal or
Yeah. not, we were wrestling with it, and we would talk, me and Will would talk about it, like, is now the time? When should it be? Do you think here? And then it got moved up. It changed. Mm-hmm. And I think it was, it felt right.
It felt like the right moment.
I did not think I was going to live through the fight.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
And it was because of me. we had some messy stuff with like the way the spells work. Like Carter might have had to take an extra 20 damage from the firewall, but I want to address that he had the armor of Agathys on and lots of HP left, and he still had some stuff up his sleeve to mitigate 80 points of damage if he needed to.
Right.
With the Tomb of Lavestis. Mm-hmm. There were things that would have had to happen. There was also like, was I supposed to go prone again with the ice sphere? We're not positive right now. We're going to hash that stuff out.
The main reason that he lived was, I think, Sebastian was rolling really badly. Was that it? Like,
I surrounded him with dudes.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he had to make a choice, either go after Carter or try to save Prim, and his priority is, you know, protect Prim. So
of course.
That kicked in, like, I'll have to try to get Carter some other time. Let's go save Prim. So I think that's what happened with that. And it's kind of a side note, too. Everything with Sebastian and Carter, I want to let everybody know, is that it was like organic. That happened. It's like I had no idea. I mean, I knew Carter was messed up in the head.
Yeah. Everybody
but
knew
I
Carter
had no
was
idea
evil
what was going to happen. So it all came up organically as we role played. And Brian had some cool ideas. He's like, okay, things are going to happen. Just act normal how Sebastian would do it. I'm like, okay, you know, let's go with it. And so I think that may have sped up, you know, the betrayal of Carter because the way that Sebastian was reacting to certain things.
Yeah, we started leaving more breadcrumbs to kind of hint like, well, I'm doing these intros and to try to show that Carter's clearly like fucked up.
Right.
And that needs to start kind of leaking out as he's spending more time and like being cooped up in this place in space and can't leave. And he's just like in his bunk and he gets kind of stir crazy, like, doesn't know what's going to happen. You know, he's paranoid. He's just like running protocols on the ship, like need to scan. Can't be caught by bounty hunters. Can't be caught by anybody. Constantly 24 hours a day. You know, what does that do to your mind when you're this way? Constantly paranoid and constantly trapped by your paranoia. And that's just like all mechanics kind of bleed into it. So I was really thankful that you guys react the way you did to Carter stuff. Mm. You know, Percy's kind of naive, easy to manipulate a little bit by Carter. Played it low key and close to the chest, but with Sebastian, I like that he starts to like kind of put it together towards the end.
Right,
it was really good and it was organic. I mean, I knew that I was going to try to do these things during the session. Let's see how they go.
Right,
So let's move on to Mariko Fujimoto, legendary listener.
Hey.
I'm almost certain these relate to the characters and not us because she's asked us specifically these questions. Mm-hmm, although maybe not Jake and Freeland. I'm not sure. Maybe but not. What? The legendary question. The breakfast burrito and or... She literally wrote just the breakfast burrito and or sandwich question because she knows I'm going to fucking know what she's talking about. So what's your guys' character's favorite breakfast burrito and or breakfast sandwich?
Ooh.
I think for Sebastian, man, it'd be a burrito just filled with all different types of meat and cheeses, you know, just like, that's it. Just all meat and cheese.
All the pork.
All pork.
A 10-layer breakfast
sausage,
burrito.
Yeah, bacon. Yeah.
Sausage, good. Ham, bacon.
Does Persephone
beef,
eat meat?
Whatever.
She does.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
I don't see her as like a vegetarian or anything like that. I feel like out in nature, you do what you got to do to survive kind of view. Kind of, so she'll eat whatever. So I think it'll probably be that, or probably be like a supreme pizza of a burrito, like a bunch of veggies in it, but there also a bunch of meat in it. Also,
nice. So both burrito boys,
yes,
or burrito girl,
yes.
Let's see. Carter would probably eat a croissant sandwich. Oh, sounds so good. Some ham cheese, jalapenos.
This is making me hungry.
That's one of Brian's favorites, too. I mean, there are things that Brian and Carter share together.
His evilness.
But yeah, Echo, I think, would go for like a lighter option, but stay burrito. He's going to want the hash browns. He's going to want the cheese. He's going to want probably just eggs, man. And then maybe like one or two strips of well-done bacon.
There you go.
Get that crunch
in
there.
I like it.
Not too greasy. As long as it's not too greasy. Echo doesn't want to feel heavy all day. So, what about how about for you, Will? What about your NPCs? What kind of burrito do you think Victoria would
Victoria
eat?
Victoria is definitely going to order a Moons over my hammy.
Nice. That's a good sandwich. Yeah, hit up that Denny's, boy.
Yeah, so that's Victoria. Prim, probably. I don't know. I got nothing. Like, she doesn't know what a breakfast burrito is.
We gotta save her from space hell and then take her to breakfast.
Right.
Go to Space Denny's.
Go to karaoke song for each of the characters.
Oh, shit.
Don't do this.
These are great questions.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, okay.
Mm. Well, Carter's going to sing.
Oh, my gosh.
What's that fucking song that we were doing during the Blood Gala?
Thunderstruck. Yeah.
Thunderstruck. Yeah, cool. Carter's is Thunderstruck. I'm going to think about Echo as well. You guys go.
Oh, yeah. Shit, this is hard.
Sebastian, I think, would be Tequila. Just stand there awkwardly for like a whole minute until it's time to say Tequila.
Yeah, I can see that, actually. I have to think, but I don't know offhand. That's a tough question.
Yeah. Is it Best Friend by Queen? You're my best friend?
I can see her.
You're my best friend.
Yeah, yeah. Oregon. Nice.
I was going to something nature-y, but I don't know what.
Nature Boy by Nat King Cole.
Maybe. Just fucking a track of birds tweeting.
Like, just do bird calls into the mic?
Yeah. I don't know.
This is nature number five.
Nature number five.
It's like Mambo number five, but just birds.
With more nature.
Sebastian would definitely have to do some hard rock or something. I can see him doing like...
Oh, some screamo stuff?
So even like Bulls on Parade by Rage or something.
Nice.
Along those lines. I can see something like that.
I could definitely see that, yeah.
Just fucking orc screams. It's like kind of like pig squealing. Sweet.
I could definitely... Vicky or Prim?
Oh my God, you guys are killing me. I feel like Victoria listens to a lot of gorillas or space gorillas.
We gotta start coming up with real. And Echo's gonna lead the charge on it, but we're gonna start coming up with real names for space stuff.
All right, sure.
I've become Echo as a person who actually Echo is not a time traveler.
He's not a time traveler.
He's not a time traveler. He is a resident of the world
galaxy
that exists.
Yes,
and therefore he will.
No things.
Personify. I'm gonna actually do some world building on my own.
Sounds
so like
good.
That's just gonna be it.
That's too funny.
So you guys will know the names.
We're
of
gonna continue calling it space
Echo playlist.
Because we don't know.
Go ahead with your karaoke stuff, dude.
I said it. Victoria listens to gorillas.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but what about Watt and Prim?
Prim just listens like to EDM or some
like,
shit.
Yeah, Prim's like lo-fi stuff.
Yeah, I feel like Watt definitely listens to like math rock.
Okay, dope. That's really cool.
And Prim, I could see her really liking, I don't know, piano instrumentals.
Ooh, I could see that.
She's more of a sit down and listen to people and karaoke type.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not going to participate.
No.
Let's do a rapid fire, chunky or smooth. I think Will should be more familiar than anybody with this.
You would think so.
Which kind of salsa do the characters prefer? Smooth or chunky? Freeland, go.
Smooth.
Chunky. Like it is in the world.
Carter Chunky. Carter Chunky. Echo Smith.
Victoria Chunky. Watt Chunky. Prim. Either or.
She doesn't care.
Yeah.
Let's do another one. Peanut butter. Freeland, go.
Either or. Doesn't matter. As long as it's peanut butter. Good.
I feel chunky.
Carter Smooth. Echo Smooth.
Victoria doesn't like peanut butter. Watt likes it chunky. And Prim likes it smooth.
Okay.
Hey.
Ice cream. Freeland, go.
Oh my gosh. Salted caramel.
That's smooth or chunky?
Smooth or chunky?
What?
Well, does your ice cream have stuff in it or not?
Oh, I thought you like
is it just a straight up creamy flavor or are there chunks of stuff in it like Ben
chunky.
And Jerry's?
Yeah.
Chunky.
Maybe a mint chocolate chip?
Chunky.
Yeah.
I guess that's chunky.
Yeah.
Chunky enough. Carter, smooth, echo, chunky.
Okay. Did you have flavors?
Was that what the question was?
Carter
was
would like just... butterscotch, like the candies. He would try to find that flavor. He's like obsessed with that shit. So Echo, he's probably going for the Ben and Jerry stuff, like the cookie dough or the brownie stuff, like mixed in, you know, Cold Stone it up, even though I kind of don't like Cold Stone anymore.
Oh, no.
And yeah, that's it for me. What about you? You're three.
Victoria likes pecan praline. Watt likes pistachio. Chunky. And Prim's working on it. Ice cream really is not
bad. Yeah, she's got some bad experiences.
But if it were chunky or smooth, what do you think it'll land on, chunky or smooth?
Probably smooth. She's trying to start simple.
All right, so we have some more from Magnus Rock. We're going to get to the last bit of his questions, and then we'll kind of do a little, we'll figure out what we're going to do for the end because we don't really know. So to the cast, if you could make a modern In That Future timeline character, what kind of character would you make? This goes for Will as well, as he uses Prim. So I feel like Prim is a future character already. She was made in this timeline.
Yeah, I guess so. Sure.
And I've already done it. I am now you are, Echo. Yeah,
indeed.
And code name Echo. We'll talk about more about Echo later. This is not Echo time. So, Freeland?
I kind of with a connection with Iron Legion and stuff. I just kind of feel like a Dragonborn fighter would be kind of cool.
Nice.
That'd be dope.
Tank it hard.
Yep.
I was thinking of backup characters when we thought we were all going to die in the Carter episode. So maybe I'll save one.
It was me and Will, like, Carter's going to die, and it was Jake and Freeland, like, we're going to die.
Yeah. So strange. It was funny.
It could have gone way different, but I like the way it played out. So well,
because Brian also, like, told me that day, like, he was like, hey, man, heads up. I'm going to try to kill you. And I was just like, oh, okay. And so the whole fight, I was expecting you to target me, and you didn't target me once. And
didn't
I was
work
like,
out.
All right, bro.
Yeah. That was my thing. I was like, if I can get Percy off the board really quickly before she wild shapes, I can have a good old time with everybody else. But
then I nat 20 on my initiative.
Yeah, that's kind of changed everything. Carter nat 1.
Yeah, he did.
So
I had a character concept. I don't know exactly race, but I wanted to do a ranger, a hunter ranger, and then make him like a bounty hunter so I could have like a plasma rifle instead of a longbow. I thought that would be extra dope in this timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would probably be mine.
Okay, yeah, and I did Echo. I thought it was really cool to do an elf, kind of the way it ended up going, even though I've like traditionally on all of our shows detested elves, I thought it would be cool to kind of make one I really liked.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I did some things here and there, and you guys will learn more about Echo later.
I think it was going to be a gnome or a halfling because we wanted to do the me and Brian were talking about like the lucky trait thing that halflings have, so it was going to be a halfling ranger, like hunter.
Yeah, halfling was on my thing too. I thought about rogue, and I ended up doing a little bit of rogue, and I thought about I didn't really think about much else. I want to be a wizard. I want to be a full caster to see what that's like. It's my first wizard. It's my first rogue. And not my first fighter.
Right.
But, yeah. Will, if you had to make
a character in my own
world?
A character
in your own world. Though you have to do it all the damn time.
Right. I think I'd probably explore more of the Nine Divine Precepts. So I'd probably build like a paladin of honor and go the lawful good route.
Right. Oh, let's touch on the Aeneanisms a little bit because they are replacing the function of gods in this world.
Yes, to a certain degree. Yeah.
So there's nine of them. Mm-hmm. They all kind of – I think we actually posted that up in the Discord. So if you guys want like little like bullet points on what those cover, they basically cover like ideals.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
They're all attached to something, and there's some yin and yang going on with the positivity and the negativity and and life and death and power and weakness and stuff like that. Yeah. Knowledge.
Law and order, emotion and whatever.
You know, like
and logic.
And no emotion.
Yeah. Like Greek gods cover this blanket of like sometimes weird little tidbits here and there, things that they probably just like snatched up that were available. I don't know. It seems like gods in D&D do that as well. They kind of grab what's available because that's what is available. So these kind of function like that. But yeah, if you're going to become like a cleric or anything, you got to pick one of these. So that's Victoria and Sebastian. They're both kind of powered by this stuff. Do you want to elaborate on that at all? Or will it kind of play out later where we'll find more out about it?
I don't know if you find out more about it unless you go looking, really.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if it comes. Really, that's more on Sebastian than anything.
Yeah, totally. He's got his hands full right now.
Yeah, he chose Dominion as his ideal. So.
Right.
But yeah, there's just nine of them, and they kind of loosely all fit within like the nine alignments of classic D&D. Yeah.
Magic is more like a blanket thing.
Yeah, for me, magic just permeates the universe. It's not something the gods created.
It's like gravity.
It was and always is. Yeah. Okay. Then same with the absence of the gods. Like basically, like all that divine. Well, okay, spoilers. Like there's a lot I can't talk about.
Yeah, totally. We will have another Super Talk Saga at the end of the campaign or close to it, where we will get into the nitty gritty of the spoilerific things that are going to go on. Mm-hmm. None of us really know about. There aren't a lot of secrets between us as a team anymore. Mm-hmm. Me and Will kept a lot of secrets from Jake and Freeland so that Carter could do his thing accurately. Mm-hmm. And I had like obviously a meta thing going on with the breaking the fourth wall and all that. Something I've always wanted to do on a show like this. So it was fun to do that and like write something that felt cohesive for Carter. Let's move on to another question. All the rest of them from Magnus. So for Sebastian and Persephone, what would you be doing if you weren't on your current path? Would you be trying to get back to your timeline or be bettering the future one? Basically, if Will didn't throw all this crazy bullshit in front of us, what would you guys be trying to do?
Right.
What if we never had a Primina and what if we never ran into space elves?
MacGuffin, yeah.
Were we still blasted into space?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that could have been it exactly. I could have just blasted you in space and like let you guys figure it out from there.
What to do?
But yeah.
Yeah, with Sebastian, he wants to go back. I mean, that's his mindset now. Even too, of course, he wants to take care and handle business now. But he would want, and especially with the information he's learned recently too. He kind of feels like he needs to go back and save the orc race. Really, you know, it's like. Someone needs to put them in the right direction, or if not, you know, 1,000 years later or whatever, you know, they're gonna all disappear. So he feels like it's his duty to try to save the orc race, and that's what he feels like the best way to do it.
That's cool. Learn what you can, go back in time and make the changes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's cool. I think Percy would have just gotten her like my base concept for her is like Captain Planet / Doctor Who, so I think she would be doing that regardless. So I think she would still be trying to help people on planets, whether successfully or not. I don't know. Maybe she would have just gotten captured by the elves and thrown into a choir. I don't know. I don't know, but I feel like she would still be trying to help people. Yeah.
Okay. Carter doesn't operate under these circumstances. So I think they knew that because they directed this at you two. So what were your character's goals back in Old World?
Well, Sebastian, he was just trying to find his way. I mean, he was learning underneath his father, the ways of, you know, his father. His father was a paladin also. So he was under training with him. Sebastian's still kind of on the younger side in his early 20s, you know. So he was learning and went on journeys with his father. Never knew exactly what his father's end goal was. He just knew that he had some big picture that he was going after. So when his father disappeared and didn't come back, he kind of felt like he needs to try to figure things out on his own. So he was just adventuring, trying to find his way, really. See what maybe if he could figure out what's going on, what his dad was working towards. So
I think she would have just been trying to survive. She was out in the woods, she probably would have just kept on being in the woods. Yeah. Maybe just moved to different towns. Maybe like she kept on trying to go into town and find people. So
right,
she probably would have just kept on doing that and kept on doing the crazy person in the woods vibe. Like, that's it.
Echo's not from Old World, as we've kind of capped on. Mm-hmm. Carter's goal after the intro timeline is and always will continue to be seizure of power for himself and for personal gain. That he's just playing the game under the warlock to gain power. This is the best, fastest way to do it. And I feel like he's pretty powerful in combat, but warlock is a little lacking in combat because of the limited spell slots. Eldritch Blast is cool, but essentially you're just a ranged fighter at that point to me. So it becomes more like I can't really talk about it because I want to do that cool arc at the end. So that will kind of reveal what Carter was up to make those sorts of things happen until he ended up where we picked up with him, which was like getting a summons from the king to go check something out and his patron kind of like bumping him along this path to go do this thing. So let's get to the next one. What alternate class can you see your characters filling? So what if you could class change Sebastian, what would you pick?
I think just if he was just to straight up change the class completely, I could see him with his rage going some sort of barbarian or something like that.
Yep.
It's cool.
I think that tracks, yeah.
Yep.
I think Percy would be either, she'd probably be a cleric maybe, like a nature cleric or a death cleric, I think would fit her very well. I was contemplating multi-classing her like that, but I think I'm just going to do straight druid. But if it's a total class change, then yeah, probably cleric.
I could see Carter as a necromancer.
Oh yeah, ooh, definitely. Yeah.
That's kind of an easy one. Or death cleric would have been cool. You know, like Grave Domain or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, man. Otherwise, like, he's a caster. He's built like a caster, so it's kind of hard to see him as not doing magic. He's, you know, high intelligence character, so that kind of just leans in. And for Echo, I mean, I picked fucking three of them. I like the way this multi-class is kind of playing out. It's going to be really cool combat-wise especially. And then he's got all kinds of cool – he's got just as much stuff as Carter did as skills-wise. And he's got even more utility magic-wise now. I don't have to worry so much about like, damn, I really got to save this pop-off to be fucking cool. But yeah, it's hard. I haven't played a lot with Echo, so I don't know – enough about him yet. I know a lot of things, but I don't know everything about Echo. I like to leave that space for my character to grow. So the last question, and then we can talk about whatever we want for a little bit. If Brian, Jake, or Josh was given the chance to DM a campaign, what kind of environment / theme would each of you want to run ideally? Like SQS is a space opera sci-fi. This is directed to each person. So Freeland, if you were to be in charge of the DMing for this operation, what would you choose to do?
Oh my gosh. I don't have much experience as a DM, so I'd probably do more something more traditional. I do DM a game off to the side with like my nephew Anthony and my brother-in-law Ryan and my friend Mikey, and just very loose game, kind of make up things as I go, but it's based off traditional world.
D&D vanilla,
is what we pretty call much. It. Yeah, I mean, I kind of homebrew and reskin a few things here and there, just kind of make up things as I go.
Totally.
So without my extensive knowledge of DMing, that's probably how I'd have to do until I get my feet wet enough to try to do my own thing.
Okay. Once your feet were wet, what would you try to? What's your like? You know, your where's you're going to set your bar when the time comes to try and leap to?
Yeah. I mean, I always love space, but we're doing a space thing now, so I'd want to try to do something different. I mean, kind of like what I'm doing right now. It's kind of base vanilla D&D, but I kind of did my own spin on it. It's kind of like a quantum leap thing where they keep being displaced. They have to try to find their way home. So that's kind of what we're doing now.
Nice.
So I think maybe as I flesh out the game that I'm doing now and kind of get a feel for it, I could really see myself getting into that and doing like a quantum leap thing where they're jumping from world to world.
It's pretty cool.
Trying to find their way home.
And plane jumping and stuff.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. What about you, Jacob?
I mean, I have the one...
I played in a game that Jake ran.
My little stint with DMing, and it was a little dino world. I basically reskinned dragonborns to be like descended from different dinosaurs, and you could kind of pick that. And instead of having breath weapons, it would be like a tail attack, or you could fly, or bite attack, something like that. So maybe I'd do that and just flesh it out a little bit better and cut myself more slack with being a first-time DM.
DMing's hard.
I'd probably go do that, and with as much knowledge as I have now, like probably make that a better game to be in, I think.
Nice. Cool. Okay, so for me, I already talked about it. We did Super Quest Ultra 5, the ultimate adventuring experience. It's a mouthful on purpose because I love it. Me and Will were workshopping that name for a long time, I still love it.
Yeah.
But that was more... It's kind of set in traditional, but it had a lot of elements of you know, inspiration for me. Like Dark Tower was huge, and Terminator, and like zombie movies. And I basically just packed those three things into a D&D campaign. We're going to use a lot of undead. We're going to use like old decrepit post-apocalyptic technology. Like this world was clearly built on the bones of another and is, you know, all magicked out and D&D'd out, and like old technology might still work and it might not, but you find like lights and wires and you're like, what the fuck is this shit? And then undead, and there was, you know, tie-ins with planar stuff and like corruption in the flow of the world and that sort of thing. I kind of liked what I had going. I think I just need to kind of mold it a little crisper and give it a little more direction and make it a little more succinct. And I think it would work really well for what we're going to do in the future. But we'll see. I like classic. I think if I had to pick something else, though, like something totally unique, I would want to go with like a Terminator style campaign, like Skynet. Like a really survival based game. I think that would be a lot of fun to play, where there are a lot of like hard decisions, hard decision making. I think that's super interesting in a campaign. Like not only moral decisions, but like where to go is hard to decipher, and picking somewhere. You know, you only have so much information, and the whole world is a very treacherous place all the time. So it's hard to find sanctuary, and it's hard, you know, when you find some place to party, it's going to be dope. That sort of thing. But what about you, Will? I know you've mentioned a couple things to us about what might be.
I got two different campaign ideas that I would want to do after this one. One is like a steampunk-esque universe set in like a – I want technology to be at like a level of like 1910. You kind of have like a World War One style like theme going on in like a World War One era like Europe. And then that's one. Of course, there'd still be magic and fantasy and all that stuff. And then the other one would be more of like a Trigun-esque, like desert, like
Planet
a desert.
Smoke.
Yeah, like a desert cowboy western, post-apocalyptic technology. Like, so technology that falls anywhere between like western technology of the 1800s all the way up to like almost like Super Quest Saga level. But there's no space travel. Like the world's been ruined at this point.
Yeah, and you're kind
of
landlocked.
That would be more of like a sandboxy, like, everything takes place in this like region the size of like a county or something like that.
Cool.
And, that'd be cool.
Yeah, those are the two ideas I got.
We do have a superhero game that we run that's kind of on the steampunk level that you were talking about technology wise, where they're in like a 1920s boom. And there's, you know, skyscrapers are being built, and there's like, you know, the magical essence of tech. You know, there's things are possible with magic, like steam tech.
Exactly.
You use a lot of steam tech in that show, a lot of like arcane energy rocks, sort of thing. And that's pretty much it. We got that's all that we've run Ranger Danger on our Patreon, which was a game, a comedy game essentially that I did. I loved all your guys' characters very much. We are going to do a second Ranger Danger. If we need another break from this show, that's what we'll do. We'll post it to our Patreon. But we've also done Vault Raiders, which are a series of one shots with rotating cast of characters, but I always play the same character. And then those are great. We also, obviously, we had Super Quest Ultra 5, which we may get back to someday. And then what else have we done in the Patreon? I feel like I'm missing
Halloween
something.
Special.
Halloween special. Yeah. An evil campaign. I think that would be fun to explore in the future, too.
Sure.
Like a monster, like monster stuff. Yeah. Oh, dang.
Poor Kevin.
But yeah, you can check out all of me and Will are on social media at the Dungeon Cast. This is presented by the Dungeon Cast, pretty much, Super Quest Saga. But yeah, if you want all this exclusive, these exclusive rights, come get on our Patreon, and you can interact with us a little more on shows like this. We are going to do one more, maybe even two more Super Talk Sagas, either towards the end of this campaign or afterwards, maybe both. That might be the two spots that we do it. But that's pretty much it for this.
Yeah.
If you guys have any questions that are, you know, up to this point in the show, feel free to hit us up in Discord. We'll try to answer things that may be confusing or smooth things out. But hopefully this episode takes care of it. Do you guys have anything else you want to touch on before we call it?
No, I don't think so.
No. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you everyone for listening, for watching, and for sending in the questions.
Yes. So just one last quick note from me. We are on like a semi-hiatus right now as we take a breath at the halfway point to continue onward with the rest of the campaign at full steam. The next episode will be out. Like, this one's supposed to drop
next Tuesday.
Tuesday, which is a week from March 2nd, whatever that is.
March 9th.
March 9th.
Something like that.
The following episode is going to come out on like April 3rd or something like that. It's like another few weeks away. We're going to keep recording and get ahead of ourselves a little bit so we have a little buffer room in case we run into a scheduling hiccup. So thanks, guys, for being patient with us and for sticking around and for watching Super Quest Saga. If you like the show, please like, subscribe, comment, hit the little bell, leave us an iTunes review as we are a podcast and a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Let that ad play, baby. Come to our Patreon if it feels like it does. But the best thing that you can do for us if you want to support this show is to tell somebody about it.
Tell some friends.
Tell lots of people about it. Tell your mom about it. Have your mom tell her friends at work about it or whatever, dude. Mm-hmm. We're totally about that. Shout us out on social media. The Dungeon Cast does contests and stuff. We don't like to do ads and stuff on this show. We're probably going to keep it that way if we can. And yeah, hit us up, thedungeoncast@gmail.com, thedungeoncast on Instagram, thedungeoncast on Twitter. And we're going to call it a game.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.